Captain's log, stardate 41242.4. Our last assignment has taken us into the remote Omicron Theta star system, home of our android crew member, Lieutenant Commander Data. Although we do it on our next assignment, I have decided to visit Data's home planet for a few hours in the hopes of unraveling some of the mystery of his beginnings.
Sir, we are now 20 minutes from Omicron Theta. Mark.
Stand by for subwarp. Head for standard orbit of Data's planet. Wonder why Data hasn't come up here.
He said he wanted to be alone. Perhaps this is a bigger moment for him than we thought.
Data!
Chew!
What are you doing?
Sneezing.
Have you got a cold?
A cold what?
It's a disease my mom says people used to get.
Ah. But humans still sneeze for other reasons. And I cannot seem to do it right.
How can you be practicing something like sneezing when we're arriving at your home planet for the first time? Aren't you interested in that?
More than interested. Fascinated. One might say agog. But I also find sneezing interesting. Chew!
Captain Picard wishes to see you on the bridge.
Captain, confirming Classim reading there, but the sensors aren't showing any life readings, not even vegetation.
Strange. The cruiser that found Data reported farmlands there.
Do you want to take her into orbit, Data?
No, thank you, sir.
Commander Riker points to the large viewing screen as Data takes his place beside the captain. A sun surrounded by three planets moves out of view as the screen focuses on a mottled brown M-class planet. As Wesley sits at Data's operations console, the Android Federation officer steps towards the screen. He looks questioningly at Wesley and Geordi, and half-turning looks at the captain and Riker, shaking his head in confusion and returning quickly to Picard's side.
Continue on into close parking orbit.
Aye, sir.
I could say home sweet home, sir. If I understood how the word sweet applies.
It usually refers to memories.
It usually refers to one's own memories, Captain. Do the memories you have include farms, Data?
Affirmative, sir. But the colony's principal interest was science.
Data, I don't understand how you can hold the memories of 411 people. If that means every experience, every day of their life...
It does not, unfortunately. It means only the knowledge they had accumulated. Actually, I'm quite deficient in some basic human information. Sneezing, for example.
Sneezing?
Approaching close parking orbit, sir.
Assemble your away party, Commander.
Riker points at Worf and Yar.
This must be an exciting time for you, Mr. Data. I'm tempted to lead the way team myself, except that my first officer would object.
How would Starfleet judge me if I didn't? An entire Earth colony did disappear down there.
You see?
Now in close parking orbit, sir.
Mr. Data? Welcome home.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Data Lore, voiced by Marston York. The Federation Starship Enterprise speeds through our own solar system, leaving the Earth far behind as it passes Jupiter and Saturn, heading into the unknown.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Denise Crosby as Lieutenant Tasha Yar, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troy, Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data, and Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher, with music by Ron Jones and theme by Jerry Goldsmith and Alexander Courage. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up, explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
First Officer's log, stardate 41242.5. We have found Data's home to be a completely dead world, down to lifeless vegetation. No insects, not even soil bacteria. What is it that could kill everything on an entire planet?
Data, Yar, Riker, LaForge, and Worf transport to the surface.
Recording signal locked onto the Enterprise, sir.
This looks like anything but farmland.
Agreed, sir. Soil appears almost completely lifeless.
This is the exact position in the Tripoli log. Do you recognize anything, Data?
The land contours are familiar, sir. Topographically, this is the correct area.
This once was rich farmland, I'd say something like 20 to 30 years ago.
I was discovered 26 years ago.
Commander, I'd say that everything on this planet was either dead or dying at the time Data was found.
I was found 20 meters in that direction, sir.
Data points behind them away to their right, and they follow him towards a descending semicircular stone staircase.
Data, any idea at all why you were given the colonists' memories?
I've always felt that it was done hurriedly, but I know little more. Here, sir. This is where the cruiser's landing party found the signal device that led them here. And they found me, lying there.
You were just lying out there in the open? No identity record? No instructions?
Only a layer of dust.
What's the first thing you remember, Data?
Opening my eyes. Looking into the eyes of the Tripoli landing party. They believe that the signal device sensed their presence and activated me.
Then this very spot was your birthplace.
Commander. I think I've got this place figured out here. This was very cleverly done to make this look like a natural hollow in the terrain here. There are signs of it being constructed in a hurry, as if to hide something here.
Yes. That was it, Geordi. This awakens a memory remnant of how the colonists hoped to remain hidden. But their fear of being discovered led to their storing information in me.
Yeah, thought so.
Geordi reaches into a small crack in the hollow of rock and depresses a hidden switch. A doorway-sized circle of rock slowly opens inwards and the gap is bathed in a hazy orange glow. Data watches apprehensively as Riker leads the team inside. Slowly walking deeper into the rock, they stop in a dark metal-walled tunnel. A single red light glows on a panel and Riker presses it. Suddenly, lights are switched on, revealing that the tunnel stretches away underneath the rock in both directions.
No life readings in here either, sir.
The five members of the away team fan out along the corridor. Commander Riker looks around to everyone and heads off along the immense tunnel. Lieutenant Yar studies the readings on her tricorder as she follows him and Data and Worf and Geordi falling behind them. Their eyes scan the blank metal walls and grilled mesh of the ceiling, searching cautiously for signs of movement. Arriving at a circular door, Riker stops and the others gather around him. As the door slides open, lights automatically illuminate the quiet, dust-free room behind it. Yar enters first, looking around cautiously. Data follows her but stops in the doorway, staring. Dotted around the room are various strange pieces of equipment. Along one wall stand sparse consoles with test and sensor trays beneath them. A double-barreled machine stands just beyond them on the right, with two red glowing tubes stretching along the middle. A glass screen behind which a smoke-like gas swirls is set into the wall behind it, and on the left a huge diagonal tube stretches from the floor to the ceiling.
The colonist's laboratory extremely well equipped. Does this stir any memories, Data?
Only a vague impression of some of my functions being tested here.
Data strides to four pictures on the wall depicting a glowing sun-like object.
Posted by proud parents.
It depicts something that feels familiar, sir, and dangerous. But I have no idea what it represents. And that is all. Except for an impression of this being a Dr. Soong's work area.
Who? You don't mean Dr. Noonien Soong.
He was called that here, but his memories indicate he traveled here under a different name.
Dr. Noonien Soong, my friend, happens to have been Earth's foremost robotic scientist.
Until he tried to make Asimov's dream of a positronic brain come true.
A positronic brain. He promised so much. And then when he failed completely, Dr. Soong disappeared. Now we know he went somewhere else to try a second time. Data, Geordi, we'll get a close look at this lab. You and Lieutenant Worf reconnoiter where those corridors lead.
Aye, sir.
Riker turns his attention to the diagonal tube. Crossing to it, he taps buttons on the control panel beside it and a section slides up, revealing two transparent molds. The molds are upside down. One is the shape of a human head, the other above it is the form of a human torso. Data reaches for the head mold and curiously brings it closer to his face. Lines along the center and at two points across bisect the mold as meeting points. They fit perfectly with Data's features, and he turns, holding the mold to his face towards Riker and Geordi.
Data, it's you.
An epidermal mold, made to give your exterior the desired finish.
Lieutenant Yarda, Commander Riker.
Come in, Lieutenant.
Sir, this installation is big enough to hold hundreds of people, but all that's here now is empty beds.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Complete your record scans and report back here.
Commander Riker, looks like some sort of storage area.
Data gently puts the mold down and crosses to the glass screen. He taps a control panel. As the smoke dissipates, molded separate body parts appear.
How many more Datas are there?
Looks like just these two. I mean that and the real Data.
Data stares in amazement at the android parts before him and steps slowly into the small room. Gently, he picks up a head, staring at the eerie likeness to his own face. He holds it gingerly with wonder in his eyes.
Commander, can this be another me? Or possibly my brother?
I honestly don't know, Data.
He needs assembling.
He. Data. We don't know that this can become alive.
It is very important for me to know that, sir. I never dreamed it was possible that I might find some link with a form like my own.
Understood. We'll take it back to the ship with us.
Captain's log, stardate 41242.45. Despite having only a few hours in which to explore Data's home planet, we have discovered something which may explain Data's beginnings, if we can properly assemble and communicate with what we've found.
In a laboratory on the Enterprise, a bearded senior engineer stands by a table on which the torso and legs of the second Data have been laid. The other limbs are contained in large tubes filled with liquid and are wheeled over towards the end of the table. The engineering team study and scan the various android components, regularly confused and amused by what they find. Activating the limb parts on the torso and the legs with laser tools, they set about reconstructing the dismantled Data. Standing in the shadows, out of the way, Data watches the activity before him, utterly enthralled. Dr. Crusher walks over to him and smiles as the bearded engineer joins them.
Signal from the captain. They need you at the debriefing.
I've been most anxious to hear the chief engineer's opinion, Mr. Argyle. Do you believe he can be made to function?
It appears to include all the components in your body. Not that we fully understand your construction either.
We have our top specialists working on its construction, Mr. Data.
Just one thing. Without disassembling you, of course, if we should need more to...
If we should need to compare this with the way you're put together...
Data nods and leaves.
Bringing it up here was the right thing to do, number one. You were just saying, Data, that if your duplicate functions, it may answer a lot of questions.
Data nods slowly and takes a seat in the ready room.
Does it appear to have, all your parts?
Completely, sir.
Will we know how to turn it on?
All right. All right. Legitimate questions about any of this need not be asked apologetically. You feel uncomfortable about aspects of your duplicate Data. We feel uncomfortable too, and for no logical reason. If it feels awkward to be reminded that Data is a machine, just remember that we are merely a different variety of machine. In our case, electrochemical in nature. Let's begin to handle this as we would do anything else.
Agreed, Captain.
Let's begin with you, Data.
Well, sir, a good starting point may be, why was I given human form?
Well, to make it easier for humans to relate to you. Had to be. But your designer may have had something else to prove as well.
That human-shaped robots need not be clumsy or limited in their performance. You certainly operate as well as we do, Data.
Better in some ways, sir.
You might want to have a look at this, Captain. It could be a link to the disappearance of the colonist. It was displayed in the lab, no doubt, by proud parents. It could be just a child's imagination, but several children did similar drawings.
Dr. Crusher to the Captain. At this point, sir, we very much need Mr. Data's help.
He's on his way, Doctor.
Is the electromagnetic sent thermometer reading positive or negative?
Positive.
Press your fingers there, Doctor.
Dr. Crusher presses her fingers into the small of his back.
There. It operates almost as a switch.
And these small projections?
An android alarm clock. Is that amusing?
She shakes her head.
They time how long I remain unconscious.
Are you certain about us using these heating devices, Data?
I will feel nothing at all.
Marvelous. It should all be a lot simpler once we see how your circuitry is connected.
I won't mention it to anyone. You have my word.
If you had an off switch, Doctor, would you not keep it secret?
I guess I would.
As the Enterprise speeds onwards, Dr. Crusher and Mr. Argyle stand between two medibeds studying Data's microcircuitry under a magnifying screen. On the other bed lies the reconstructed android.
Yes, notice the microcircuitry here and here. And another fibroid-like connection here.
Let's close up.
Mr. Argyle hands her a dermal regenerator and she passes the glowing end of it over the edges of the circuit housing in Data's chest, sealing the cuts. When Data is reactivated, Picard enters.
It seemed to go well, thanks to a look inside Mr. Data. But there have been no signs of consciousness yet.
Picard looks down at Data's unconscious double, but Riker's attention is held by Data's jerking head as he re-establishes his functions. All eyes then turn to the double.
Certainly is a good match for Data, sir.
Do you think so, really? I wonder which of them was made first.
The android's eyes open.
He was. But they found him to be imperfect, and I was made to replace him.
The android turns to Data, and a tick jerks his left cheek. Data stares at him in astonishment and looks at the captain, who stands open-mouthed in surprise.
You may call me Lore.
Lore looks from Picard to Data, and a broad smile stretches across his face. Data stares back, the corners of his mouth twitching with pleasure. The captain calls a meeting in his ready room.
But I am also troubled by it describing you as imperfect.
Human language gives me difficulty too, sir. Imperfect could mean that I lack certain abilities he possesses.
I wonder. But the point of this is whether you and it have approximately the same capabilities.
We do, sir. And you're referring to him as it. Suggests that I too fit into the category of a thing.
I see your point. My apologies.
Gladly accepted, sir. As for Lore's abilities, his use of syntax and grammar suggests he was given human memories similar to my own.
And you have about equal physical strength and mental abilities.
I believe so, sir.
Which requires that I now ask you a very serious question. Since the two of you are so closely related to each other.
The answer, sir, is that my loyalty is to you and Starfleet completely.
Thank you, Commander. I was certain of that.
And helm control is here, with the ship's heading being given in measurements we call degrees. 360 of them in a full circle this way.
Then you say mark.
On the nose.
Which separates it from another full 360-degree circle this way, on a right angle to this one.
So by ordering a heading so many degrees this way, and so many this way, the ship can travel in any direction. All three dimensions.
And the square of a hypotenuse of the right triangle?
Is equal to the sum of the square of the other two. To something, which I once heard but never understood. All of which you will learn more about when the captain has approved your being on the bridge.
Have I committed an offense?
You will find that there are many rules on starships that must be learned.
You're very clever, Wesley. I now have duties to perform, correct?
Were you ever this anxious to please, Data?
Never.
I judge Lore to be superior in that desire.
Because I was designed to be so human, my brother. I enjoy pleasing humans.
My brother? That has a nice sound to it, Data.
You consider it important to please humans. It's not important? There are many things of importance, some more than others.
Data gestures for Lore to follow him. Lore pushes the operations console away from his chair and stands up. Data ushers him into the turbo lift and turns to look back at the bridge crew. They return his uneasy gaze and Riker's face is set in stern curiosity.
Do you realize that Commander Riker's hypotenuse question tricked you into showing your knowledge was greater than you were indicating? He didn't seem that clever. I'll be more careful. You tend to underestimate humans, my brother. Praising young Wesley on the helm, for example. A child! He has a child's body, but we have found him to be much more. Thank you for that information, too. You do care about how I perform. I pledge to be worthy of your teaching, my brother. Try not to be jealous of my abilities.
Lore enters Data's quarters with a smug smile, leaving his brother standing alone in the corridor. Data bows his head, lost in thought, and looks up in open-mouthed confusion. He stares after Lore and, raising his eyebrows, follows him. Data sits at a console in his room.
What information are you requesting? Everything available on a Dr. Noonien Soong.
Ah,
good old often wrong Soong. A joke, brother. Actually, he was a genius by human standards. But he had destroyed his own reputation by making what seemed wild promises about his positronic brain design, almost all of which failed. Promises he later proved to be true. Which made you and me possible, brother. Our beloved father. Will I soon have a uniform like that, brother? If you get one the way I did, Lore, it will mean 4 years at the Academy, another 3 as ensign, 10 or 12 on varied space duty in the lieutenant grades, a system designed to compensate for limited human ability. And you, brother, are beginning to think as a human. You and I are completely different from them. Are you truly satisfied with the knowledge and memory of a few hundred human colonists? Suppose it could reflect thousands, or millions, or the knowledge of hundreds of millions of life forms of every kind.
His face suddenly twitches.
How? We will discuss that in time. And will we also discuss, Lore, which of us was constructed first? It would be foolish to underestimate you, brother. Yes, I lied when I said you were made first, but with good reason. Dr. Soong made me perfect in his first attempt. But he made me so completely human, the colonists became envious of me. You lived with the colonists until they petitioned Soong to make a more comfortable, less perfect android. In other words, you, brother. Haven't you noticed how easily I handle human speech? I use their contractions. For example, I say, can't. Or isn't. And you say, cannot. And is not. I say tomato, and you say tomato. I say potato, and you say potato. Yeah. A very old joke. But then you also have trouble with their humor. Am I right? Quite true. I keep trying to be more human. And keep failing. Do you realize, brother? I can help you become more human. And do you realize, Lore, that I am obligated to report all of this to our ship's captain? I assumed as much when I began studying you. May I use this to learn more about this vessel and its customs? Use it also to describe for the captain the time you spent among the colonists, including everything you know about what happened to them. I promise a report of great detail and accuracy. Thank you, Lore. I now have duties to perform.
Lore sits in Data's chair as his brother stands.
Unless, of course, you need something more. I have more than I've dreamed possible, brother.
As the door closes behind Data, Law turns to the console in front of him with a smile and immediately starts scrolling through the ship's databanks. Images and information flash on the screen and Law's smile grows with evil intent.
Captain's log, stardate 41242.5. Thanks to Law's report, we now know what happened to the colonists. Beginning with a child's drawing, enhanced by Law's description, our computer has constructed the image of a great crystalline entity which feeds on life. Insatiably ravenous for the life force found in living forms, capable of stripping all life from an entire world.
But how did Data escape that thing? Or Lore?
Lore had been disassembled. He explained it as jealousy from the colonists. And Data wasn't yet alive at that time.
Which explains why Data could be left outside in no danger from that creature. Whatever happened to the colonists, he would be found by the first Starfleet crew that responded to the signal he transmitted.
By which Dr. Soong left proof behind that his experiment did work.
Captain, how believable do you find that crystal thing?
So little of even our galaxy explored, I find it at least possible.
Data, are you expecting Lore to come up here? He left your quarters some time ago.
To go?
My turbo sensors say he went to deck 4. Worf?
Or you examine some micro-miniature work tools and some fine-grind quadratanium.
Which is used in our construction. That particular compound is no more suspicious, sir, than a human looking for an antiseptic or an ointment. Nevertheless, I should check it out.
You're watching everything he does, Data? Is that the act of a brother?
It's the act of a Starfleet officer obeying his captain, Doctor.
Dr. Crusher and Data nod respectfully, and Data enters the turbo lift.
Captain. Speaking strictly as security chief, how much can you trust Data now?
Wesley turns from his operations and stares at Picard in surprise along with Geordi.
I trust him completely, Lieutenant. But everyone should also realize that that was a necessary and legitimate security question.
Thank you, sir.
In Data's quarters, Law pours two glasses of sparkling wine. Beside one is a small vial containing a minute amount of powder. He picks up a glass and the vial and holds both in front of him. Smiling, he empties the vial into the wine, which froths for a moment. As Data enters, Law turns to him, the glass raised.
Lesson number one in becoming more human. You must observe all human customs. Champagne? An ancient ritual still practiced when they observe events of importance.
Slowly, Law places the glass on the table in front of Data and picks up the other one. Data reaches uncertainly for the glass but follows his brother's lead.
My brother, I toast our discovery of each other. May it fill our lives with new meaning.
They both sip from their glasses. Data places his back on the table and his surprise turns to confusion.
I have some doubts about the value of human customs in this... Brother. And let us toast also Dr. Soong, who gave me the full richness of human needs and ambitions. A perfect match for my mind, my body. Brother.
Data collapses to the floor unconscious.
And let us toast also the great crystal entity with whom I learned to communicate. Before Dr. Soong disassembled me, I earned its gratitude by revealing the way to the colonists. Can you imagine its gratitude when I give it the life on this vessel?
This is strange, sir. I show Commander Data transmitting on a subspace channel.
I know Data's been doing considerable research into Dr. Soong's background. Let's be sure. Wesley. Would you look in on Commander Data, discreetly?
Yes, sir.
Wesley keenly enters the turbo lift to the amusement of the crew.
Crystal entity. Upon arriving here, you can identify me as the machine named Data.
Laura is now wearing Data's uniform.
End of message.
Come in, please.
Glad you're here, Wesley.
Lore suddenly attacked me and I had to turn him off.
Why did he do that, Data?
He discovered we have been using sensors to follow what he does.
Suddenly his face twitches. Wesley stares at him in surprise.
I practiced his facial tick. Do I have it right?
I'd suggest you forget imitating him. If you'd said we've been using the sensors instead of we have, I might have suspected you were Lore.
Yes. I do use language more formally than Lore. Please inform the captain I will come up to the bridge and report on this.
Aye, sir.
As Wesley leaves, Lore reaches to his left cheek and crosses over to a set of small drawers in the wall by the door. Depressing a small button, one of the drawers slides out, and he takes a small, thin instrument from the padded shelf inside. Kneeling beside Data's prone body, he activates the device and fires the blue light over his left cheek. Data's face begins to twitch. Standing up, Lore crosses to a mirror and passes the activated light stream around his own left cheek, removing the twitch. He looks at himself, and an evil, self-satisfied smile creeps across his face. Wesley and Geordi sit in their position at the operations consoles on the bridge, watching the stars stretching before them on the viewing screen. The pinpricks of light are pulled into lines by the immense speed of the Enterprise. Dr. Crusher kneels down beside her son and puts a hand on his shoulders.
Wes, tell me again how Data said he immobilized Lore.
He told me he just turned him off, Ma. Doctor.
She smiles and stands as Lore, disguised as Data, enters.
Question, Mr. Data. Did you or did you not swear me to secrecy about your off switch?
A change of mind, Doctor. If I cannot trust the bridge crew, whom can I?
Captain, I'm picking up a bogey coming in on a 5 o'clock tangent.
It's transmitting no ID signal, Captain.
Set main viewer on that tangent.
Shields up, go to yellow alert. Transmit friendly greetings, all languages, all frequencies.
A strange crystalline cloud formation appears.
I can't believe anything's overtaking us this fast.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Wesley stares in shock at Lore standing beside him.
I recognize it, sir. It's the crystal image Lore described.
My God.
Crystalline mass quickly overtakes the Enterprise and the ship rests within its frond-like perimeter.
Still no ID being transmitted, sir. Also no answer to our inquiries.
Did you get a direct look at it?
It's like a giant snowflake crystal, but much more complex. The entire electromagnetic spectrum seems to play about inside it, but I haven't the slightest idea what it is, sir.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Data.
Lore steps forward.
If there's anything else that Lore could tell us about it, it may be important. Can you control him enough to question him?
I will have to examine him to know, sir.
Captain, recommend that you do not let him roam the ship freely.
Ensign?
Wesley is simply showing himself to be alert and responsible. Something to be encouraged. Come, you can watch everything I do.
Not if I have a choice.
That is enough, Ensign. When addressing a senior officer...
I've guided his training, sir. I'm the one at fault. You will show the proper respect. I will accompany you down there to make certain of it. With your approval, of course, sir.
Captain Picard nods angrily and Riker points directly at Wesley, motioning him towards the turbo lift. As they leave, the captain looks back to the viewing screen, staring at the crystal form outside the ship as it pulses with light. Entering Data's quarters, Lore gestures for caution.
Careful of Lore. Good. He is still unconscious. Notice the same twitch, even though he is unconscious? Stay back. We may have problems if he senses someone else is near.
They move away as Lore kneels beside Data and jams his hand into the small of Data's back.
Lore.
Data jerks violently.
Oh. I have a few questions to ask you. Lore, it is Data. He senses you. I cannot control him if you stay. Please, I will record everything he says.
And you bring it to the bridge immediately.
Riker hustles Wesley out of the door. Lore smiles to himself and releases Data, who drops heavily to the floor. Slowly, Lore stands, his face a mask of calculated, arrogant evil.
And you want to be as stupid as them, dear brother?
Viciously kicking Data in the head, Law's smile broadens. He looks down. A flap of skin hangs from Data's forehead, revealing a network of flashing neural diodes. Riker strides onto the bridge with Wesley.
Well, number one?
It was Law, sir. Same facial twitches that we've seen all along. Lying unconscious on the floor, exactly as Data had described. And then it suddenly became violent, apparently sensing that Wesley and I were present.
Or is it Law, pretending to be Data and faking it all?
I asked for Commander Riker's report, acting Ensign Crusher. And since it now seems clear that you're unable to function within the limits of that appointment...
Captain?
Begins to turn, slicing at the ship's deflector.
Deflector shield holding, sir.
Bring photon torpedoes to ready. Main phasers to ready.
Close to red alert, please.
Weapons now ready, sir.
No, Captain. Let me talk to it.
You didn't say you could do that. Affirmative. Talk to it.
Open hailing frequencies. Crystal form. I identify myself as Data, advising you to stop your attack. The humans here are powerful, capable of injuring or even destroying you.
Slowly, the crystal form reverses, rotating slightly away from the Enterprise. The crew stare in utter astonishment.
Now I call that communicating.
Suggest moving fast to confirm what I told it, sir. Permission to use the large transporter in cargo room 3. There I can beam up some living pattern, perhaps a large tree.
Which you'll beam over next to the entity.
That is correct, Riker. Our ship's phasers will then blast and disintegrate it, proving we are dangerous.
Make it so.
Sir?
Do it.
Law enters the turbolift, unaware of the confused stares of the bridge crew. As he leaves, Wesley leaps to his feet.
Sir, I know this may finish me as an acting ensign, but...
Shut up, Wesley! Lieutenant, pick a good security team and let me know what he does.
Aye, sir. Shut up, Wesley?
Doctor.
And since I am finished here, sir, may I point out that...
Shut up, Wesley!
...that everything that I have said would have been listened to if it came from an adult officer. Request permission to return to my quarters, sir.
Agreed. Doctor, go with him.
You're putting me off the bridge.
I'm asking you to keep an eye on your son during all of this, Doctor.
Worf strides down a corridor with two security officers behind him. He steps into a turbolift and comes face to face with Law.
Emergency closed.
Now show me your warrior fierceness.
Worf punches Law, but the humanoid barely registers the blow. Law crashes his hand into Worf's face and the Klingon crumples unconscious to the floor.
I'll look. But I shouldn't have let you talk me into this.
Mom, it's Data. He's been hurt.
They stare at the bare circuitry.
It's Data, Mom. I heard you know how to turn them on.
This is very serious.
So just tell me to shut up, Wesley, and I will.
You're being very unfair, Wes.
Data, the crystal thing is outside somewhere close to the ship, and Laura's loose on the inside.
How badly are you hurt, Data?
I will function sufficiently to stop Laura, Doctor.
The crystal form gently rotates while in a cargo bay, Laura works on a console.
Crystal entity form. It's your old friend.
Concentrating on the electrical language, Laura is unaware of Data, Wesley, and Dr. Crusher entering the bay.
Very good. You've understood perfectly so far. Next, I will signal that I'm about to transport something out. At which time, the deflector shields will turn off for a moment. And if you move in at that time, How sad, dear brother. You make me wish I were an only child.
Law walks away from the console and peers around a pile of crates to look at Wesley.
Then why this marvelous gift? The troublesome little man-child. Are you prepared for the kind of death you've earned, little man?
If you take one more step towards my son.
Ah. Motherhood.
pushing Data at the doctor, he grabs the phaser.
Back off, or I'll turn your little man into a torch. I promise him exquisite pain, unless you obey me too, brother.
Move away, Data. Please.
Do you see now the advantages of being completely human? It includes kindness. I give you your life, Doctor. Go. Quickly. And I may not injure your son at all. I will stay with Wesley, Doctor. Go! Or he'll be shrieking by the count of five. One, two, three, four. Thank you for my human qualities, Dr. Soong. Wait! A small payment for your son's misdeeds.
He fires at the doctor's shoulder as she rushes out, and Data suddenly leaps at Law and hurls him into a stack of barrels. Law's initial surprise turns to rage, and he hurls barrels at Data.
Wes! The transporter! Wesley, now!
As Law fires, he dematerializes. Wesley looks over at Data, who stares at the empty space where his brother had been. Closing his eyes, Wesley breathes heavily with relief. The door behind him suddenly slides open, and Yar, Riker, and Picard and the Doctor rush through, their phasers raised.
Laura's gone, sir. Permanently.
Dr. Crusher runs towards her son and flings her arms around his neck in a tight embrace.
Doctor, now that Wesley's safe, go to sickbay at once.
Captain, the crystal thing has begun to move away.
They all turn to watch a small screen on the console as the crystal form rotates, receding into the distance. Nervously, Data steps towards them.
Data? You all right?
Yes, sir. I'm fine.
Now get rid of that damn twitch and put on the correct uniform.
Yes, Captain.
Ensign Crusher, you able to return to duty?
Yes, sir.
Then do so and let the bridge know that all is well down here.
Aye, sir.
It's gone, sir. Without Laura, it had no way to reach us.
And we're overdue for our computer refit. Number one, have you ever considered whether Data is more human or less human than we want?
I only wish we were all as well balanced, sir.
Agreed.
The end.